Dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure you've realised as we've been reading from the Psalms over the last few days, how many of them give us a very interesting and keen insight into the mind of Jesus, often in a way which we don't particularly find in the Gospel records. We read of the constant desire of Jesus to do the will of his Father. We read too of the desire of many of his contemporaries to destroy him. And we read of the strength that Jesus was able to draw from knowing that he always did the things that pleased God. Well, just by the way, we too can draw strength from the assurance that we always do the things that please God to the very best of our ability, assuming, of course, that that is true, and only we know that individually. Let's look at Psalm 20, which we read a few days ago. Psalm 20 to begin with, and we'll just have a look at a few passages which illustrate these points, and as we look at them, apply them in your minds to Jesus. Psalm 20 and verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. We all have days of trouble sometimes. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. And we all need God's help. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. We don't normally read that little word Selah, which comes quite often in the Psalms. It means just pause a moment, take time to think and reflect and meditate on what you've just read. And I'm sure that is a very good basis for exhortation. Well, if ever a servant of God needed the strength of such words as these, it was surely Jesus, and particularly as he hung on that terrible cross. And Jesus knew that God would save him. Verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And as you will know, probably, that word anointed, the Hebrew word is Mashiach, or Messiah, a clear reference to Christ. And then Psalm 22, which we read on Thursday. In Psalm 22, we see the fearful agony of Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'm sure we can all hear in our mind's ear, as it were, that agonizing cry from the cross, wrung from the very depths of his being, and it conveys the full horror of those last moments of Jesus' mortal life. Well, here we have the severest test that any son or daughter of God can possibly experience, the feeling that God had forsaken them, and this was how Jesus felt, so that the words of this Psalm 22 rose spontaneously to his lips. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Well, all of us from time to time, I think, feel that God is forsaking us. But truly, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But Jesus was tested in all points like as we are. And yet even the Son of God was tested by that terrible feeling that his God and Father had forsaken him. But had God really forsaken Jesus? Does God really forsake us? Well, surely not. But this is sometimes how we see things in the depths of our suffering, be it in body or mind or both. And surely in this, as in everything else, Jesus, even in the very last moments of his mortal life, was sharing the feelings of those he had come to save. Yes, Jesus was sharing the experiences of all God's servants down the ages, including ourselves gathered here in 2019. And perhaps, digressing a little, but not really a digression, if one of us, a brother or a sister, is ill with depression, as many are, we need to be sensitive about what we say to them. And I think perhaps we would all do well to be a little more mindful of this, rather more than we sometimes are. Let's be sensitive to one another's sufferings. And it ill becomes any of us to minimise, let alone deny, another's trial, whatever it might be. It's a way of fellowshipping the sufferings of Jesus. And so I thought this morning we would spend a little time in these Psalms, in the early part of the Book of Psalms. And as we would have noticed over the last 13 days, often we find the writer in great distress, always expressing full confidence in God and in God's help, but often we find similar feelings expressed to those which are written of in Psalm 22. Let's look at Psalm 10 for a second. Psalm 10, which we read, I think, 6 days ago. Psalm 10 and verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? What a contrast that is to the words of the previous psalm, Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And in Psalm 13, we have an insight into David's mind, and through him, the mind of the Lord Jesus. David was in great distress here, as so often he was. And so he says, Psalm 13, verse 1, How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? And I think we all feel like echoing those words from time to time. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? How long? How long? There again is that cry of all the saints, all the brethren and sisters of Jesus, down through the ages, and that plea to be heard. Consider and hear me, O my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Well, we'll remember from our reading from Job last month that he often felt like that. Job said, Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry for help, there is no judgment. And again Job said, I cry unto thee, and thou dost not answer me. I stand up, and thou lookest at me. Thou art turned to be cruel unto me. With the might of thy hand thou persecutest me. And we can recall with those words in mind the words of another psalm which really do sum up such feelings. The psalmist wrote, Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Psalm 69 gives us those words, well known as a messianic psalm. And here we can see the anguished thoughts, even of the Son of God. And many brethren and sisters also will echo those words from their own private experiences. And yet, David did not lose heart. And here is his confidence in another place. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which save my soul. There is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. God heard him, and he found peace. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustains me. And another psalm. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. And you can imagine Jesus speaking these words. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? And there again is that cry, how long? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, lying? And then the confidence, but them that know the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Let's have a look at Psalm 18. Coming to our more recent readings during the past 2 or 3 days. Psalm 18, another beautiful messianic psalm. Verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Well, Jesus knew all along that because of his own complete faith and trust in his Father, he would be raised from the dead. Psalm 21 and verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Verse 4. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days for ever and ever. And verse 7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Yes, Jesus knew, as we all know, that the greatest enemy of us all, death itself, eventually will be destroyed. Verse 8. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. Yes, Jesus knew that eventually all the evil plots and schemes of his enemies would be brought to naught. And so, going over to Psalm 22 again, and verse 24, he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. And Jesus knew, as we know, that God does hear our prayers. But why that terrible cry from the cross, from the lips of Jesus? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, truly, Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And can we try just for a moment to place ourselves in Jesus' position? When he uttered those anguished words, he had been 6 hours on that awful cross. For hours before that, he had been questioned, abused, scourged, and tortured. His friends had left him, just a very few stood at the foot of the cross. And as we read in John's Gospel record, his heart was torn by the sight of his own mother there. There were the jeers of his own people, those people who he had loved and served so well. And then for the last 3 hours, that awful, unnatural darkness. We read that it was the middle of the day when he gave that cry, and now Jesus is right at the end of his ability to endure. All human strength had gone. And now he felt, as men and women, including ourselves, do when strength has gone. We feel, if we're really honest, we feel occasionally that God has left us. Jesus felt that God had forsaken him, even though he was the Son of God. And because, again like us sometimes, he didn't know which way to turn, he felt that even God had left him. But with that feeling of total weakness came new strength from God. The Apostle John tells us in his record, after this, after that terrible cry, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he had rejected an earlier offering of something to slake his thirst, but now he received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And that was not a cry of despair. It was a shout of victory. As John said, all things were now accomplished. It was the complete realization of Jesus' prayer to his Father at that Last Supper. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. A great sense of achievement. Although there was more to come at that point, as he was led out to be put to death. Well, to that cry, it is finished, Luke tells us that Jesus added the words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the spirit. God, who for a passing moment Jesus felt had forsaken him, gave sleep to his beloved son. And so for 3 days, Jesus slept the sleep of death in that new tomb. The battle was over. Perhaps when it seemed to all present, perhaps even to Jesus himself, that he might fail, no, he didn't fail. He wrought a tremendous victory. Only one had known beyond a shadow of a doubt that that victory would be won, and that was God himself, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, a few hours, relatively, after that despairing cry, Jesus was wonderfully alive. Before him stretched an endless life, free from all personal suffering and pain. He rose from the dead, as we are all convinced. He rose from the dead in the sure knowledge that now victory was his by the grace and strength of his Father. But important as that was, it was not just victory for Jesus. He had offered, and does offer, the certain prospect of victory for thousands of others, a multitude without number. Sin had been overcome. He had destroyed utterly the power of the devil. It was absolutely certain that in the Father's purpose, sin and death would be taken completely away from his creation to give place to eternal joy. And we, gathered in this little room in January 2019, are included amongst those for whom Jesus wrought that great victory. Later in the psalm, verse 12, we read these words, Psalm 22, verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round, they gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. If you've ever had a dislocated joint, you'll know how painful it is. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Well, there, Jesus is thinking back to the trust in God that he had had all his life. And surely God wouldn't fail him now at the supreme crisis of his life. God will never fail us, although it does feel like it sometimes. And then, later in the psalm, the whole picture changes. The clouds are dispersed, and from the depths of humiliation, anguish, despair, and darkness, we pass immediately with Jesus to light and exaltation, to joy and praise. The prospect ahead is certain. The achievement of God's purpose has been guaranteed by the victory of this one man who we shortly remember in the breaking of bread. Jesus, the Son of God, but also our elder brother. And so, this morning in these Psalms, we are with Jesus in his sufferings. So let us now, just for a moment, before we share the bread and wine, let's go forward to his glory in the words of this same Psalm 22. For great as that victory on the cross was, it was not for Jesus alone. We are all invited to share with it. And so the glory of which this psalm speaks in its latter verses, this is the glory that we hope to share, a glory we will share, if first we endure patiently in our identifying with his sufferings, which we do by obeying his commandments, the breaking of bread, and by sharing and fellowshipping the sufferings of one another. And so, as we think about Jesus and reflect on our own state of mind and activities perhaps in recent days, or as we go forth into the coming week, or how so much of it God permits us, shall we be reluctant or even refuse to fellowship the sufferings of his brethren and sisters Well, that's a question for private thought. Well, we try to follow Jesus' great example of trust and obedience. The Spirit of Christ in the psalm looks forward to the day when he will be joined by his brethren and sisters, those for whom he suffered so much. Verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. And then perhaps we can particularly take the words of verse 24 to ourselves. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And that verse, of course, is still true. When we cry to God in our private moments of difficulty, God will always hear. You think of the words of Isaiah 53, a prophecy which also looks forward to the joy which would follow, the joy that would be found in being with those whom he had redeemed. And dear brethren and sisters, in the kingdom we shall enjoy the eternal fellowship of hundreds, thousands of the faithful obeyers of God's commandments. As we read in that chapter in Isaiah, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. That's a wonderful thought, encouraging, but also sobering. Sobering that when Jesus sees his seed, those he has redeemed, those like us for whom he suffered so much, when he sees us, may it be that he will be satisfied. And then all that Jesus endured would have been utterly worthwhile. Well, we come now to break bread, and we know that God will never forsake us. If our present afflictions, often carried very privately, if these weigh heavily on us, then let us consider that even greater weight of glory that will be ours. As we take this bread and wine, let us consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. And now, in a moment, we break bread in memory of all these things. So let the concluding words of one of today's psalms be our prayer. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee for ever.